Let's talk about adding fuels to the flame. How do you inadvertently add fuels to the flame of rivalry? If you were here at my last talk, we talked about anger. And I talked about the adrenaline rush you get when you're parenting in a reactive fashion with your children. We're reactive because there's literally a biological, there's a biological process going on. And when we, for example, have a certain expectation about how our day is going to go or what we're going to get to do, and a blizzard comes, and we're in a rotten mood or we're agitated because we lost control, that's just one example. Our expectations for what we want to do in the driver's seat can be quite discrepant from what our kids are demanding. And we can end up very agitated or take it personally and get very angry. And we're reactive to their demands. And I talked in The First Comes Hurt, Then Comes Anger about how if we don't step back and breathe, we will react on a fight and flight response, which is a biological response. So here's what happens. We've all been there. The kid reacts, we react. The kid escalates, whining or screaming. We escalate, scolding or screaming. And there's this vicious cycle, I call it the negative escalation, and it's not constructive. We all know it, we've all been there. If our manager did that, or if the police officers do that, we catch it on video and put it on the news. We only do behind the walls of our home what we allow ourselves to do because no one's watching. If we had guests to dinner and people were watching, we wouldn't react to our biological adrenaline and our disappointment. We would have to breathe. So it's very important that you remember that, because to be an effective manager in the face of emotion, because rivalry involves conflict and lots of emotion. Well, if they have emotion and you have emotion, where's the help? It's hard. Because if you can step back and not take it personally when they're fighting, just again, if there's no blood, practice this. Step back and breathe so that you don't get hooked. Now, if you were at my Parenting with Confidence talk, you know what that means when you get hooked. When your children are trying to pull you in, this is what they will learn to do, and you will get hooked for a very long time in the face of rivalry. They want to hook you in to a lie on their side. Couples do this in my office. They come to me in conflict fighting. They're waiting for me to tell one of them that they're right and the partner's wrong. It's human nature. So your children, when they're fighting, one of their objectives is to pull you in the ring. Here's the problem. When you get pulled in the ring, now you're fighting with them, and you know what that feels like because you're in the ring in the boxing match. You got to be out of it. You got to be the referee. You can't be a referee and fighting in the rivalry at the same time. So they want you to side with them. Why? Why do you want people to side with you when you're having a conflict? You want to be right. You want to be validated. So one of the first things we have to do in managing rivalry and not getting hooked and taken into the ring is to get rid of our paradigm of right versus wrong. So when couples try to do it in my office, I say, well, guess what? You're both right. There isn't a right and wrong here. And as soon as the world gets rid of this paradigm, maybe we'll have fewer wars. It's a human nature thing to turn it into winner and loser, right versus wrong. So if you were managing people and you were a boss and you had a conflict to deal with amongst your employees, where would you get, if you sided with one employee, to validate them as right, which would make the other employee wrong? Bad management. What the trick is that you listen and validate to each party. The trick is to step back and not get hooked, unless there's blood flying, and even then you're going to the emergency room. So there's really very few times you have to get step in the ring. Remember when I said at every talk, an emergency on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine? I wasn't kidding you. If you can practice just that as a parent for the years ahead of you, you're going to be so liberated, because you're going to quit getting hooked and you're going to quit taking it personally. So just because they're screaming and they're having a conflict, don't let the alarm bells go off. Don't let biology dominate, drag you in the ring, and run your brain. Because you need your left brain really badly in that moment. Your left brain, which is a brain of reason, really your frontal lobe, is sort of the evolved piece that involves reasoning, needs to be in charge at that moment. So the trick is to not ally with one child over the other, but to hear each child's frustration, to validate it. You're not going to be able to do this every time, but you can do it more often. And then you want to encourage them to solve it. Now, 7 times out of 10, if not 8 times out of 10, you don't need to do anything. You need to stop reacting, ignore it, walk away, put your earphones on, and run a vacuum. Running a vacuum was one of my mom's favorite things to do. I also told you in Parenting with Confidence, she said, take it outside. So quit panicking about rivalry. They're doing lots of good stuff, remember? And they're figuring things out. Now, if it gets dangerous, and you feel like there's moral issues, and you feel like one child is damaging the other child, exploiting the other child, my older son loves to exploit the little guy. But I've been amazed to watch how my little guy can strategically get power back. So the problem is, I started out rescuing my youngest because I was the youngest. And I was not going to let my kids do to him what my siblings did to me. So remember alliances? I chose Michael, and I was going to be damned if Michael was going to have any of the frustrations or emotional pains that I did. But here was the funny thing when I stepped back. Michael's not me. And Michael was a different personality. Lucky him. Because what happened is when I kept jumping in to rescue him, when he finally got old enough, he told me to stop it. He said, cut it out. I'm fine, Mommy, he'd say. Plus, imagine the dilemma he was in, because he was pulling me in. And what's the price he pays with his older brother once Mom gets involved? I'm sure you've noticed that as parents. In some ways, you add fuel to the flames and you worsen the conflict. Just like because you picked one of them over the other. And now you increase the resentment. You walk out of the room and the older brother says, creep, see if you can use my Nintendo next time. I'm not going to give it to you again, you jerk. Because he just got him in trouble. That's the dilemma Michael was in. So in essence, he was saying, leave me alone, I can solve it myself. And he has. He has a wonderful way that he will take with him in the world. You know, the youngest children are often very clever, very determined human beings. Now, what about when you see a child that you really do worry about because of their temperament, where they are pouting, they're not coping well, they can't handle the rivalry? Then you really do want to step in and help them manage it, but don't take over and do it for them. You don't have to come in and say, you know, you take this, you no TV for you, stay out of it. You don't have to come in and just take over. You can listen, watch what's going on, and get them involved in the solution. And remember, the solution is what? It's a win-win solution. What does it mean to negotiate and compromise? Remember, what your children are doing is, I'm right, he's wrong. What you want to teach them over and over again is, where's the compromise? How can you meet middle ground? Start using the language. What's the win-win solution here? When they're younger and pre-verbal, you model that for them. We model it. When we take a timer and say, you're going to have it for this long and your sister gets it for that long, that's a win-win solution. If it's a toy that the younger one shouldn't have, and this is another point I want to make, when you truly do need to stand by one sibling, say it's a moral issue, or say the younger sibling was using something or got into something, went into the bedroom of the older sister and is taking things. When it's a moral issue and a standard about what's respectable in your house, don't forget to state the rules with kids, first of all. So when it happens, you have to mention the violation. We don't go into each other's room, and when your sister's there, you are not allowed to go into it. I'm not asking you not to have rules or standards. And when someone's really done wrong, you can still empathize with each child. So you can say to the younger sister, you really want to take your sister's shirts. Yes, I do. Why, are her shirts better than your shirts? I mean, I wouldn't say it like that, but there's something going on there. In the case I told you earlier where the younger sister felt rejected when the bigger sister was growing up faster and didn't want her clinging, The little sister took to stealing her stuff in her bedroom. She would go in her bedroom when the sister wasn't there and use her stuff. Metaphorically, what was she doing? She was taking a piece of her sister. She wanted to go in and have her stuff. She was also being a little bit aggressive in acting out because the sister, remember, had rejected her. Why do we need to know these dynamics? Because if you step back and you're mindful and you think dynamically, you can be a little more strategic and clever about how you solve it or how you help them solve it. You can also give empathy, even to the perpetrator, you can give empathy. You really want your sister, you really miss her. You can give empathy. Remember, I taught you in the parenting talk, you can give empathy and still set a limit. You really want your sister, you really like her stuff, you really miss her, but you can't take her things. You can't take her belongings. And there can be consequences for that if you need to put them out. She has to learn that. But do we still need to empathize with what's going on for her emotionally? Yes. Will it make it easier for her to learn and grow and respond to the new rules if we give her empathy? If you had to change the rules on an employee and you had to confront them, doesn't confrontation and change happen better if you can also give them some empathy and validate them and recognize them? Mm-hmm. So the trick here is we want to try to keep from adding fuel to the flames. Try not to choose a child and take sides. Try not to do the old-fashioned, why can't you be smart like your brother? How come your brother's room's always always neat and yours is messy? Let's not add fuels to the flames by comparing them out loud. You can talk about their report cards separately and privately. You don't need to wish that one sibling was like the other sibling out loud. We can avoid reacting and getting hooked. Labels are very dangerous. And thereby we can reduce some of the rivalry that's born out of jealousy and resentment.